This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, longtime contributor to the station and a valued and well-loved friend. And he joins us on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're very popular, and like you have a texter saying quite literally, I laugh out loud every time you play the Robot Biggs, and you know, compliments on everything you do. Can you ask Biggsy what happened to his Missouri Tigers in the NCAA tournament? People know too much about you.
Yeah, they were bad the last couple of weeks. I watched a couple minutes of the game. That was it. You know, they were so bad to the finish line this season that had no expectations, but to go from winless in the SEC a year ago to making the tournament, that's fine. We'll move on.
We will move on. So Brad, obviously we're reading your draft and we're going over 1.0, and let's be honest about it. The reality is that's your first bite at the apple, right? How many drafts will you do? You will do one right before the draft in April. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, there'll be a couple more, at least two more, probably, on. I mean, one guy texts me, he's like, hey, you get, is this based on something you know?
You know stuff, like, Brad? I mean, you know stuff?
I'm like, blind guess, bro. Blind guess.
But, Brad, I think it's interesting, though, because you have Will Campbell going to the Bears at 10. And I'm curious, like, based on the people you talk to around the league, is there a building consensus that the first tackle off the board will be Armon Membu from Missouri because of the way he tested and just because of how he has begun to rise?
I think there's a couple factors that go in there. Like, Membu, I don't think you can play him at left tackle.
Right,
I don't think you'd probably want to try. Like, I remember talking to people about him back in, late September, early October. They liked him. They wanted to look at him some more. They thought he might be a guard. now. I think people feel pretty good about him playing right tackle. But I think it depends a little bit what you need. Like, if you need two tackles, yeah, you could take him and plug him in there. But he's popular right now, and as one GM told me at the combine, he said that offensive linemen in the draft in round one aren't much different than quarterbacks from the standpoint that they get overdrafted because everybody needs them. Like of the 32 teams right now, how many are sitting there and they're saying, oh, yeah, we're good on the O-line? That's a small handful of teams going into the draft every year, whether they actively try to get one in the first couple rounds. That's not always the case, but everybody is always hunting offensive linemen.
Yeah, there's truth in that, and the Bears could, obviously you want them to keep going. I wonder, is it fair to ask if Will Campbell can play left tackle in the NFL?
That's a good question, and it's a fair question, and people have said, well, what about the arm length? And
right,
fair question, right? But boy, you watch him do it at LSU, and it sure looks like he can do it, right? You're not projecting a guy from a small conference that played, had a big game against Mississippi State, and then they played Rutgers, and those were the two big teams on the schedule that they played. This is a guy who played at an elite level for a while. He's not a one-year starter. So I think if you're drafting him, chances are you're starting him at left tackle and you see what it looks like anyway, right? And,
right. You would have to do that if you take him at 10.
And it's like in a lot of these people that talk about, his arm length is an issue, are ignoring the fact that there's been some pretty damn good linemen with shorter arms than you would like that have played left tackle in the last, 20 or 30 years in the NFL.
I tend to agree with that, Brad. I think it's an interesting choice, and if he fell to them, they'd be lucky probably to draft him. I also wonder this. In your mock draft, you have Ashton Jeanty going 12 to the Cowboys. How difficult, if that is indeed the case, would it be in your mind, based on who you've talked to, for Ben Johnson to pass on a running back that would give him a dynamic weapon in the backfield?
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know how Ben Johnson feels about Jeanty or his desire to build up that position, but that's got to come down to a number of factors. One, how special is this guy? There's a little bit of recency bias here because, folks are, this is the greatest running back that's come along in a long, long time. He's a really good player. There's no question about that. I would think the loud and proud crowd that wanted them to focus on the offensive line in the off season would probably want them to stick with that in the draft, right?
Yeah.
Or do we have some flip meet flop where they're going to change their tune, and then if the line isn't fixed for the long haul, they're going to be back again saying these people were idiots that everybody knew they needed to fix the line, because Drew Dolman looks like a guy who can take care of your center position for this season and hopefully quite a while to come. Tooney, that's a shorter term fix.
Yes.
And Jonah Jackson, they've got a lot of faith in, and if you're believing in the coach, you're trusting him there. But he needs to bounce back, and you've got the question mark at left tackle. So you can't go wrong continuing to build the line. The Lions didn't get their fancy toy at the running back position until they had, really built up the structure and the backbone of that roster.
That's a good way of putting it. And I, as I have said many times, I have no problem drafting line of scrimmage at number 10, at 39, at 41. And maybe not all offensive linemen, but there are two sides to the line of scrimmage. I know they've improved through free agency, but I don't believe they're done there either.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that gets lost in this discussion about Jeanty at 10 that I think you know, some people just kind of ignore it. It's a fantastic draft for running backs. It's not a good draft for running backs. It's a great draft. So that being said, like, are you at the point in your program where you can take a running back 10th overall, where you can draft a running back in the first round for the first time since Cedric Benson, which was two decades ago? Are they at that point in their program? And I don't know that a foray in a free agency, understanding that they've got some players with really strong track records, high marks on the field, in the locker room, but we tend to get kind of blinded by some of these moves in free agency where we expect them in March and April to be more impactful than they wind up being in October and in November. So are they at that point where they can pull the trigger on a running back that high in the draft?
Brad, I love the top 10, but very curious. The same question kind of applies to Tyler Warren, who you have going 7 to the Jets. That's very high for a tight end unless you're convinced that he's one of these guys that makes your offense instantly dangerous.
Yeah, I think Tyler Warren's interesting because, like, he can impact every down, right? Like, he's fantastic in the passing game. He's going to do everything he's called upon and more in the running game. I mean, he's a guy you can't dismiss from any conversation about the Bears at number 10, right? Because he's that total package at the tight end position, which I think is kind of, you know, what the Bears like. I think they'll get away from, you know, going for this one-dimensional guy, a Jimmy Graham type, a Gerald Everett, guys of that type. I think they're looking for players that can do it all. And, you know, I don't know what the chances are would be for him, but you'd need to have a conversation about him at 10. I think he's a really good player. Hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't think it's for 10, but whoever winds up with Omarion Hampton, it's like you're drafting Derrick Henry. I mean, you see the size of this guy and the athletic ability and the strength. I mean, he's like a man.
Wow.
Yeah, he probably goes round one.
Yes.
Like that's your second running back that's taken. And, you know, maybe the Bears are looking at him in a scenario and where there's a trade down.
Right.
I think they probably need to resist the urge to trade up with these three. You're in a really good spot right here.
You don't want to trade up, right?
Picks. Yeah. Well, you got three picks in the top 41.
Yes.
Just you know, be confident in the process you've put in place to stack your draft board, right, and arrange it. And then attack it, right? And then go get it, and keep your draft capital where it's at.
Brad, I just wonder if you're attaching any significance to the fact that Ben Johnson shows up at a Hawks game and they score a touchdown and win 7-4.
He did. It's an
offense.
Dave, yeah. The Hawks are totally irrelevant, brother. That's
nice.
They're just completely irrelevant.
Excellent.
They won last. They won yesterday, Brad. Bedard's hot.
Win, lose, or draw, they are irrelevant.
Ben Johnson begs to differ, and he was there. All right, good stuff, Biggsy.
Yeah.
Love the mock draft.
Good talking to you, buddy. The mock draft is tons of fun. I wonder if more quarterbacks will be taken than you imagine. You know, there's a lot of talk about Jackson Dart moving up You know, no one would have picked Denver to jump in and take their quarterback, and it happened. And I think there could be a run on the bank, as we always know. Everybody needs a quarterback.
The Steelers need to get involved somehow because they're still trying to move on from Ben Roethlisberger, and maybe Aaron Rodgers lands there. But even if Rodgers does, you've got to
there is next
you
year.
Come up with a solution for that position.
There's always a year after you get a 40-year-old quarterback. Great stuff, Big Z.
See, Brad.
If Rodgers goes to the Steelers, the Bears do have Pittsburgh on the schedule this season.
Yeah, they come to town, I believe.
And have a great day, guys.
All right, he owns them.
He owns them.
Well, he may not own them
anymore.
I don't know. With that group. Maybe.
Maybe just.
He'll make the Steelers better if he goes there.
He would
make the Steelers
they need a
definitely feel like they have a chance to return to the playoffs.